I'm Alexia Ridley with Athens News Matters, a show dedicated to local news, current events, and community outreach efforts. Today, my guests discuss the 6th annual Spotlight on the Arts Festival. We'll delve into the history of the festival, discuss some of the highlights, tell those attending what they can expect, and fill you in on other details. All that and more next on Athens News Matters. Hello, I'm Alexia Ridley, host of Athens News Matters. My guests today are Dr. Russ Mumper, Vice Provost for Academic Affairs and Chair of the University of Georgia Arts Council, Kamie Williams, Public Relations Specialist, and graduate student Anna Pieri, who is organizing Student Spotlight and performing in the Kaleidoscope performance. Thank you all for joining me today. Can't believe it's been a whole year. Seems like we were just here. let me start with you first, Russ, just to tell us a little bit about an overview. What is Spotlight on the Arts?
Spotlight in the Arts is a wonderful collaboration with multiple units across campus to celebrate and foster an awareness of the arts and humanities that we do at the University of Georgia, involving students, staff, and faculty. It was born, this will be our 6th annual Spotlight. It started in 2011 when we at University of Georgia developed the UGA Arts Council, which is a pan-campus 12-member unit representing all of the major units, institutes, and offices at UGA having something to do with arts and humanities. And one of the primary goals of the Arts Council was to develop and foster, sustain, and grow what we now call the Spotlight on the Arts Festival, a wonderful 11-day or 12-day event where we bring and showcase the best and the brightest, the most talented students, staff, and faculty at the University of Georgia across all of the disciplines and arts and humanities, to showcase not only across campus, but to reach out what we call town gown with the local community and even the state to bring in and, as I mentioned, foster an awareness of the excellence that we have and to showcase what we're doing. And so this festival is now a festival that showcases more than 100 exhibits and events across that period in November, and we're just thrilled to be able to deliver that. We spend most of the year planning for it, and so we're very proud of it.
Yeah, I can believe it. I mean, you're talking 12 days of events. That's a really daunting undertaking. So I know all of you are working very hard about this, but how do you, what type of effort is it to put together all of that? As you know, Russ, you said you start planning for it most of the year, basically.
Well, we have an arts council made up of 12 members. They represent every major stakeholder in arts and humanities, from the Performing Arts Center to the Georgia Museum of Art, the Fine Art and Theater, and on and on. And we meet monthly. We have monthly arts council meetings. We have student representatives that are active members on the Arts Council, and starting literally once the this year's festival will be done in November, in December we start planning for the next year, and we have monthly meetings. We have subcommittees that are working on making each of festival bigger and better than the last.
Don't even get a holiday break.
I just wanted to add, if I could, that there are also several other units that are contributing to Spotlight on the Arts this year from across the campus. The School for Public and International Affairs, Odom School of Ecology, the State Botanical Garden, and the Grady College all have some interest in Spotlight as well.
And it just shows how diverse the reaches of this festival. You guys really involved at so many different programs at UGA. So it's not just what we think of as traditional arts, our artists or people engaging in art. It's widespread. You say Grady College. That's not what I think of when I think of art.
Right. There are aspects of art all across our campus, and it's great to show that off.
Well, I want to ask you about that because this is something, it's not just for people who are already well-versed in art necessarily. You have things that are just accessible to anybody who would just appreciate a good performance or, you know, a nice play. So tell me a little bit about how you don't have to be an art expert to really enjoy the events that you have.
Sure. There's amazing events from films to art exhibitions to even some amazing plays and dance performances. But we also want the students to know that even if you're not a music major, you can get involved in the arts. You can, for example, most of the music groups you can join even if you aren't a music major. You can still participate in the dance department. And our student spotlight helps showcase that, bring it right in front of them, and help them to get involved even if they're majoring in the sciences, that they can still be passionate about the arts.
Anna, you are involved, obviously, in Kaleidoscope, which is the opening performance.
Yes.
And I want to ask you a little bit about that. But first, tell me a little bit about the student spotlight in general.
Well, the student spotlight is kind of our way to kick off the spotlight on the arts by really focusing on the students. The very first thing I do when I start planning the student spotlight is to send an email to every student organization I can find on UGA's website that is in any way even kind of related to the arts. I send out emails to fashion groups, to writing groups, music groups, anything, and encourage people to tell their friends about it. And it's really open to anyone that wants to perform anything that they have. You know, we have Improv Athens, which is always a big highlight. Students come out and get to experience some improv comedy. And the delightful thing about it is that it actually takes place in Tate Plaza. So people from around campus are walking to and from trying to get their lunch or catch a bus, and they get to see these little glimpses of performance. And it just lets them know that no matter what is going on in their world, there's art happening on campus, and it's right there. It's right across from Sanford Stadium. You know, it's just, these are the things that UGA can be really, really proud of. We have incredible research, we have incredible sports, but we also have incredible, beautiful, moving works of art that are happening.
That's always great to get that out there. And what better place than Tate, particularly if you're, you know, wanting students to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me a little bit about Kaleidoscope.
Sure. The Kaleidoscope performance is our opening celebration. We opened it up to departments. This is a little bit more focused on pieces that have already evolved through faculty collaboration. And each performance is between 2 to 4 minutes long. Some of them are even shorter. It will be composed of dance selections, music pieces. There will be theater performances. And there's even a film that will be shown. And it's really great. It pops up little glimpses of arts, and it's a wonderful sampler to kind of start out everything.
And when, where is this?
The Kaleidoscope performance is 7 p.m. on November 1st, and it's at the Performing Arts Center, and it's completely free of charge.
Let me also mention that we have an amazing after party at the Lamar Dodd School of Art so that people can also take in the art exhibitions.
Mm-hmm. Yes, after party is always nice. There's always something to do there. And you mentioned that Kaleidoscope is free, but there are a lot of free events. Can you just kind of speak to that? There's so many things going on, and many of those things you can just kind of drop in.
Sure. Yep, the Kaleidoscope is free. Student Spotlight is free. We've got a number of free events listed throughout the program. Kami might actually have more detail about that.
Well, a couple of events that do cost money but are a big focus is the University Theater's production of Cabaret and the Dance Department's Young Choreographer Series. But we also have an incredible amount of other performances. And it's something for everybody, from our SPIA students would be interested in Charles Bullock talking about his book on November 7th. And there's the manager of Greg Allman is going to come and talk about his career on November 3rd. Philip Juris is going to, he's an artist, and he's going to talk about his work in celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Odom School of Ecology, and that's on November 2nd. The Georgia Writers Hall of Fame will have its induction ceremony, and Clark Lunbury, an artist, is going to do a writing on water discussion, and then he's going to install it at Lake Herrick on November 11th.
Well, what about some of those events that people can get tickets for? You know, how would they go about to some of the events that are that you do need to pay for to get into?
Most of them you can get tickets on the night of, although I don't know if I would show up to Cabaret because they may have sold out. But you can get all of it through our Performing Arts Center at pac.uga.edu. And Russ, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about 433, which is an amazing chance to, and free chance to look at the arts research going on campus.
I'm happy to. One of the signature events of the Spotlight Festival is what we call the 4 minute and 33 second scholarship competition in the arts. This will be the fourth annual competition, and we're very excited about this, and it's really kind of grown in participation in what we're trying to accomplish. The 4 minute and 33 second title originated from a well-known national brand called the 3 minute thesis competition that's primarily but not exclusively for the sciences, and most research-intensive universities have their version of the 3 minute thesis competition. Well, one of the missions of the Arts Council, and thus one of the things we wanted to do in Spotlight, is to showcase all of the great scholarship being done on campus in the arts and humanities. So we decided to be a little creative and take from John Cage's 1950s performance of what he called 4 minute and 33 seconds, where he literally sat at the piano and did not play for 4 minutes and 33 seconds to really showcase what arts, in this case music, was. And so the 4 minute and 33 second competition started the first couple of years with oral presentations. 8 to 13 graduate level students would present their scholarship in 4 minutes and 33 seconds. And we had both public and a judge panel reviewing those and awarding scholarship awards of $433. And that, since that 4 minute and 33 second competition has now expanded to include a poster session. We now include undergraduate students that are participating in CURO, the undergraduate research program, and that's really expanded. And as I mentioned, that's a signature event. And this year, we're moving it to Tuesday, November 7th. It will be in the Georgia Museum of Art, where we will have both the poster competition and the oral competition beginning at 7 p.m. and ending at 9:30. And we're always very excited about that. Again, really to showcase the wonderful scholarship that our students, both undergrad and grad, are doing in the arts and humanities.
You know, it's interesting. 4 minutes and 33 seconds is not a lot when you're actually performing something. But sitting at a piano and, you know, just listening to silence, you know, that's enough time for the audience to squirm. It's all
Absolutely.
Relative.
Right? But if you think about it, you're also hearing the people squirm. Is that music? That's kind of the point.
Right. It's pretty neat. I like the concept. Russ, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the fact that you have CURO involved. I wouldn't think of art when I think of that because of the research. So you guys really just reached out all across the university and brought in a real diverse group of talent.
Well, that's absolutely true. CURO is the Center for Undergraduate Research Opportunities, and that program at UGA has really expanded and exploded over the last several years. And it's expanded to include the opportunity for all undergraduate students to have a research opportunity, not only in the sciences or the wet laboratories, as we call them, but also scholarship related to arts and humanities.
Right. And it's just kind of remarkable that there are so many different highlights Are there things, well, obviously like Curo, that people wouldn't expect to see at maybe an arts festival? I think that's something that's very interesting, but you guys have, I'm sure, some other things that are going to be surprising.
I think one of the, and Kami mentioned this earlier, one of the things that we've been so pleased is a number of the academic units, colleges and schools like Grady and the Odom School, College of Engineering and others, are also now participating more and more in each festival. And you'll see that this year, more than any other year, the academic units that you normally wouldn't think would have a strong affinity to the arts and humanities are actually doing some wonderful and creative things and collaborating with faculty and students in traditional arts and humanities discipline, and they're now engaged in the festival, and that's just a wonderful thing to see and so very consistent with one of the founding missions of the Arts Council and what we're trying to accomplish.
And Kami, how do you reach out across campus like that and get everyone involved? And you seem to have quite a wide variety of people who are involved.
Sure. We send emails. We talk to people just while they have events going on. The UGA Press has published books by Charles Bullock and the SPIA professor, and so that's where his event is coming from. And also a biography of former Justice Leah Ward Sears, and she's going to be here, so the law school may be interested in that one. So our units are working with other people, so it's easy when you can just pull together all that is already going on and the amazing work that's going on across campus.
Yeah, I like that. You know, even bringing in the legal side of things in the festival, there's so much going on. But, you know, this is the sixth year. Would you say this is the biggest year you've had? Does it just seem to get bigger every year? And is there a limit?
That's a great question. And we've talked about that. Certainly in each of the first 5 years, every year we had more exhibits, more events. We track attendance both inside of UGA and outside, and the attendance has increased each and every year. And we wonder, will in the future, although we'd like to engage as many people as possible, I think what we've agreed is really our strongest motivation is to offer the highest quality festival that brings in as many people, but we really focus on the quality and being able to engage many different people. As I mentioned, we have just about 100 exhibits and events. You can only have so many over an 11 or 12 day period. So we're probably close to tapping out on the number of events and exhibits. But really, the diversity and the quality is what we're really focused on. One of the things that we're now doing in the festival, this would be our second year, is a wonderful family day that's being marketed and advertised to families with young children. This will be on Saturday, November 11th, on the East Campus Performing Arts Center Quad. Last year was a magnificent event, and probably 2,000 people were in attendance, many families, young children. And so really just building events like that, again, that's consistent with our mission for engagement with the community. And we're really excited to continue to build what we call those signature events like that.
Well, that's an incredible turnout for an event, you know. But yeah, what are some of the activities for a family day? Obviously, you have things that will appeal to the children, and that'll get the parents out.
Sure, we've got performances from the children's theater troupe. We've got activities at the Georgia Museum of Art, and through the art school is having an entire art carnival. If the weather is good, we'll fill the Performing Arts Center Quad. There'll be some performances from the community music school groups that are involved, and that's also a way for you to get to know how to get your own children involved in taking lessons and things like that. The Department of Dance will have some classes and workshops, and the Creative Writing Department will have some workshops going on as well. So there'll be so much for your kids to do and try. Oh, and they'll also have the instrument petting zoo where they'll actually get to touch an instrument and try it out.
And that's great because, you know, kids are so hands-on, and it's nice that they can actually touch something. How many times do they get told, can't touch it, you only look,
right.
Just look, don't touch.
And so, this is all free.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. fantastic. And that's a great way for families to spend some time together and do something a little different.
Yep. Okay.
And Anna, tell me a little bit about the students' involvement. I know that you are obviously performing, but you have other students involved as well. Are for the student spotlight, is it all students involved in the performances for students and whoever else is there?
That's what we always hope for. I think we have one PhD student this year performing. And then other than that, it's mostly groups that are comprised of undergraduate and graduate students throughout campus. There are some groups that span all sorts of different disciplines. There's the Ecotones, which actually are an a cappella singing group that come from environmental sciences. Then there's also quite a few different theater groups. We have Candle Hill Lions coming again this year, which is a bluegrass group coming from the music school. So that's wonderful. We also have our social media street team that'll be happening, and that's comprised of students throughout campus, many of whom are representatives on the Arts Council. And we'll be doing some Snapchat takeovers. We'll be posting on Instagram and on the Twitter feed. So make sure you're following UGA Arts if you aren't already.
Right. Yeah. And that's definitely something aimed at the students, since I'm not even on Snapchat.
Well, we've got a geo filter and everything. You got to get on there.
I know. What am I doing? Come on. Get with it. So really, there's so many things that's just for everyone of all ages. What would you say to people who maybe haven't attended one of the spotlight festivals? No time like the present, right?
Sure. I'd start with come to Kaleidoscope. It'll give you an amazing look at all of the talent on our campus, from the School of Music to the Department of Dance and the creative writing program and the theater program, and then go to the Lamar Dodd School of Art afterward to see the exhibitions. If you're a parent with a small child, bring them to Family Day. Let them get to experience the arts and start to foster an appreciation from them. And most of all, if you're interested, go to arts.uga.edu, and you can find the entire list of 100 events and exhibitions.
That's probably something people ought to do immediately, because there's so many things going on, and you don't want to miss something. So there's got to be more than one thing that will appeal to most people.
Absolutely. And in every budget.
Yeah. That's right. In every budget. And as you said, some of these are so unique, like getting the man who managed Greg Allman, and then the Georgia Writers induction, the Hall of Fame, Georgia Writers Hall of Fame induction.
Right.
Okay. I kind of said that right. People can figure that out. So many things going on, plus more typical arts performances. Do you have plays, you have music performances, that sort of thing?
Absolutely. There are tons of performances by any kind of music group that you can even imagine, including guest performances from the the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center, and the Bumper Jacksons, which is a very fun folk group.
Yeah, Bumper Jacksons. I like the name already.
Yep.
So that implies you're going to have a good time with that. And Russ, what would you say to someone who hasn't attended before? There's so many things. There's bound to be something that people are going to find appealing. It's entertaining.
Yeah, absolutely. Although if you look at the list of events and exhibitions, it can be a little overwhelming. I echo what Kami said, and one of the reasons that we established the Kaleidoscope, which we used to call the opening ceremony, was to really introduce all of the offerings in 1 hour, so that anyone who has never come to the festival, has heard about it, can come for free and see for an hour and get a glimpse. It's kind of like the opening ceremonies of the Olympics, to see everything that might be of interest to them, and then literally go through the brochure and pick out over the next coming days events that really caught their attention. I would really encourage people to come to the Kaleidoscope.
Let me ask you guys each, what are some of the things, or maybe just one thing that you like in particular every year or you're looking forward to this year? Kami, we'll start with you.
Well, we're going to sound like broken records, but Kaleidoscope is an amazing, like, show-stopping performance. Usually you leave there on your feet and excited. And one of my favorite days of the entire year is the day of Student Spotlight, because it's amazing to see all of the creativity that is going on with our students. And we have some amazing performances, but we also might have some art that you can purchase on the Tate Plaza that day, and we're going to have a food truck.
Okay, yeah, you're hitting all kinds of high notes there.
Right. And I'm a mother of two small children, and Family Day is the highlight of the year for them. We'll also have a food truck there.
Food trucks are always a winner. And I'm guessing, Anna, you're going to say something very similar.
Well, Amy. Student Spotlight is, of course, my favorite thing. This is my third year working on it, right. And I absolutely love it. There's a great deal of serendipity and excitement that happens. But I also have to encourage people to come and see Cabaret. That'll be in the Fine Arts Theater, and that actually opens on November 3rd. And that's directed by Freddie Ashley, who's the artistic director of Actors Express. So it's actually quite a big deal. We've got some professional names coming in to do that. A couple graduate students are doing thesis roles, and we have undergraduate students that are just absolutely going crazy with their characters, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Then there are also some events that are happening at Cine. I'm also excited about Family Day. The Instrument Petting Zoo is something I brag about to people all across the country that I know.
Great. Russ?
I echo that. We use the term the signature events, and came in, and I have highlighted all four of those signature events. We have an amazing talented staff and students and faculty across all of our performing arts at UGA. They do what they do throughout the year, not only in the festival. I think kind of the magical signature events, really, in my mind, are the highlights, just because of the uniqueness. They bring in these kind of new and additive features and really highlight why the Arts Council was founded 6 years ago. And so I look forward to those personally more than any others.
And Kami, I'm going to ask you one more time just to let everybody know where they can go to find out information about the festival.
Yes, we have the entire list of more than 100 events and exhibitions at arts.uga.edu. And we also have a lot of information on our social media pages at UGA Arts.
All right. Well, we will end it there. And I want to thank each of you for joining me again. I want to thank my guests, Dr. Russ Mumper, Kami Williams, and Anna Pieri. To hear this show again, visit WUGA.org for a podcast. For questions or comments, visit our Facebook page. This show does not reflect the views of the station. Athens News Matters is a production of WUGA, a broadcast service of the University of Georgia. I'm Alexia Ridley.